Welcome to Landmark Ministries. Thank you for joining us today as we prepare our hearts for yet another in-depth look into the Word of God. We hope this message gives you encouragement and brings you closer to the power of Jesus. We're so glad you're here today. God is calling your name. We've been studying through the Bible book by book, learning more and more about God's love and plan for us. Thanks again for being here. Enjoy today's message.
So good morning, friends and family. I am glad that we are reading God's Word together. This morning, we are invited to pursue Christ as a community. Last week, we kicked off our sermon series on Sabbath and rest, and we remembered that God rested on the seventh day of creation, filling the whole earth with His glory and His presence in Genesis 1 and 2. And then in Exodus 20, God invited and commanded the Israelites to observe the Sabbath day and to keep it holy by stopping work, stopping progress to rest and enjoy God's active presence for a whole day, just as God enjoys His creation. And then in Exodus 33, we read that God, being generous and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, He remained with His rebellious people, His rebellious and stiff-necked people, displaying His inexpressibly wonderful character. And then we ended on a cliffhanger last week with Moses. We were with Moses after experiencing some of God's character, and then Moses was asking to see more of His glory. And so, that's where we pick up today. For us today in the year of our Lord, 2024, to see more of God's glory, it makes sense that we look into the face of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. We are gifted with God's presence in flesh and blood. By resting with and in Jesus, we enter Sabbath rest. We enter into God's loving kindness and favor. I mean, after all, Jesus Christ, the Son, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. That's Hebrews chapter 1. So my aim is to guide us into the Scriptures, to participate in Sabbath as a community, to experience Jesus, the Lord of Sabbath, for ourselves. And so we begin to build the habit of Sabbath just a little bit deeper and notice the difference that deliberately spending time with Jesus makes. I'm not going to give us a three-part application or a set of to-dos this Sabbath series. We're not going to be given more work. We're already full of it, aren't we? So for our time today, and for the remaining 4 weeks, I want to bring us back to, I want to bring our attention back to a spiritual discipline that was introduced to you guys almost a year ago, I think. It's called imaginative prayer. It's a way of reading Scripture that is designed to help people come to know Jesus through imaginatively interacting with the Scriptures. We did this last week a little bit as we imagined ourselves to be the Israelites that were recently freed. Do you remember that? This spiritual discipline was developed 1,500 years ago by Ignatius of Loyola, and it has stood the test of time over the centuries. And I want to make a note. So we're not practicing anything New Age. We're not practicing anything unchristian. But rather, we will participate in an activity that the church has found quite rich and quite life-giving. We will seek to interact with God in His Word, which, if you recall, John chapter 1 is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And then in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So, okay, Tim, I get that God rested on the seventh day, filling the whole earth with his glory and presence and enjoying all that he had made. And that we are commanded to observe the Sabbath and to keep it holy, to set it apart, to also enjoy God as he enjoys us. And, Tim, we get that Jesus is the Word, the capital W Word, that reading Scripture is hearing God speak. So then, how does this imaginative prayer work? Well, that's an excellent question. I'm glad you all asked it in unison. So we will choose a passage from the Gospels, and in our case, we'll choose Matthew 20, verses 1 to 16. Matthew 20, 1 to 16, which is the parable of a generous landowner. And we'll read it slowly, and we'll pause after each sentence. And we'll read it twice, actually. Now, the first read, we will imagine us hearing it for the first time with fresh minds and fresh ears, not allowing our familiarity with the parable to rob us of what Jesus is saying. And here, I want to point out that as we interact with Scripture, as we intentionally turn our hearts and our minds towards God, we are in prayer. This is prayer. Most of what we're going to do shortly is receiving and listening to God, and this is very much prayer. So, would you turn with me to Matthew 20, 1 to 16? So take a deep breath, get comfortable. And kiddos, this is especially good for you as well. Imagine hearing this for the first time. Maybe you are hearing it for the first time. So this is Jesus speaking. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius, a day's wage for the day, and sent them into the vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. And he told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you what is right.' So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon, and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired at about 5 in the afternoon came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were first hired, they expected to receive more. But each one of them was also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them, 'I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I give you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." So the second time, I'm going to read it again. So the second time, I want you to now imagine that you yourself are in the story. If you're able, you can close your eyes if you're comfortable. Kiddos, you can imagine yourself in the story and experience it as if you were there. Pay attention to the smells that you might be smelling, the sounds you might be hearing, everything that you see and you feel and even taste. We use our senses. And also, listen to the tone of voice Jesus uses for the landowner and for the workers. Listen to Jesus as he tells the parable. How did the disciples and the others respond to the parable that Jesus was giving? Use your imagination. Pay attention to how close or far away Jesus is in your imagination. All right? Are you catching the drift? You're engaging it. We'll read it again. Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. And he asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. And he said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said. 'And you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them, 'I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I give you. Don't I have the right to do what I want to do with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So, Jesus says, the last will be first, and the first will be last." All right. So if your eyes were closed, they can open. We can take a deep breath. Remember, we're aiming to imagine ourselves in the scripture and to experience God in real time. So, what did you see in your imagination? What did you hear? What were the smells? What did you feel? Where were you in the story? Did you imagine yourself to be one of Jesus' disciples, maybe? Or perhaps a curious listener, kind of on the periphery? So, as we're coming out of this parable a little bit, I want us to linger here a moment. Kind of pay attention to the scene for just a minute. And as it fades away, it leaves just you and Jesus there together. We get to wait and see what happens as you and Jesus are together. We're just listening. We're just noticing. Do you sit quietly with Jesus, maybe? Do you speak? Do you ask for something for yourself, just you and Jesus now? Or maybe you ask for another. Maybe even Jesus is asking you of something. So we're using our imaginations. And this may be strange, it might be odd, this might be new, and that's okay. You might be resisting it, and that's okay too. You might have nestled right into it. Wonderful. We're meeting God in the scriptures. And so whatever happens, hold on to it. So as we move out from the story now, hold on to the interaction that you had with Jesus. Whether it was comforting or convicting, whether it was peaceful or strange, feel free to talk about it with others after the service or later on today. I know it's going to be a good conversation. And so now, I want to pivot a little. Still holding on to our interactions with Jesus, and I want to talk about our work, or actually more precisely, our vocation as it relates to Sabbath. And along the way, we'll glean a couple truths from the parable, from what Jesus is clearly wanting us to grab. There are way more than just a couple truths in this parable. And that's the beautiful thing about the scriptures. And there's always more that we can dwell on. So here, the first is in the parable. In the parable, we can make the connection that God the Father is the generous landowner. Did you pick up on that? In verse 4, the landowner told those who started work later and later in the day that he will pay them what is right. He didn't say he was going to give them a denarius. And then he goes on and he pays them a full day's wage. I mean, that's not fair. But according to God, well, it's the right amount that he decided to pay them. So then, God is generous. He's far above what we could ever ask or expect or demand. There are dozens of examples of this generous God in the scriptures. I'll just take one. It's found in Psalm 104, verses 10 to 15. I'll read it. You don't have to turn there. And it says this: He makes springs pour water into the ravines, and it flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field, and the wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the sky nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The land is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. Wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. This is the God of all creation, isn't it? How are we, who are grafted into God's family, who work with God to bring about heaven and earth, how are we to respond to God's generosity? I know what you guys are saying. You're saying with thankfulness and gratitude, of course, right? What other response is there? Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5 tell us to enter his gates with thanksgiving and courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 reminds us to rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 13:15 concludes, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. This is Sabbath, guys. Whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, whatever job is ours to work and to tend, whether it's enjoyable and satisfying or not, we are able to do that work within God's kingdom, unto our Lord and for his glory, with thanks and gratitude. Doesn't that dimensionalize our work? Or as Paul writes in the first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 10, he says, so whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Such a sweeping statement, but thankfulness and gratitude. And in this way, we represent or show off God's glory and loveliness. We showcase his generous and extravagant nature as our Lord and Savior. So what does this mean for our vocation? Tim, you threw that word out there a while ago. What's our purpose here on earth? And we are, and this is just this is a response, not the full answer, but just a response. We are to glorify God with our lives, as well as display his loving kindness to the world around us. Our vocation, not just our work, but like our purpose, our design, we are to put God on display. Okay, Tim, but this is a Sabbath series. How does this relate to Sabbath and rest and stuff like that? Well, in order to display the generous love of God in our lives with thankfulness and gratitude, we must first interact regularly and rhythmically with the source of that love and generosity, with God himself. And remember, we can't enjoy and give away what we do not first possess. That's just an observation. Okay, so that was one. Another aspect, another truth that we can kind of pick or glean from the parable is that the landowner's generosity, another aspect, is that he goes back outside of his property to look for more people to invite in. Did you notice that as well? The landowner seeks and gathers more and more people to himself. God is always looking for those outside the property lines to invite in, isn't he? At first, the earliest group, God invited the Israelites to join him in his work. Do you remember that in Exodus? In fact, God made them into a nation of priests to display his glory and his goodness and his holiness. The entire book of Leviticus is about God calling and commissioning his people into their vocation to be a nation of priests that are full of his love and glory, who then go out into the world and represent the character and the blessing of God. That was their job. And while displaying God's goodness and holiness and glory, the nation of Israel was to gather those outside the kingdom of God and to bring them in so that they too could experience and celebrate and worship the God, the living God of all creation. That's wonderful. How does this relate to Sabbath? In Ephesians 2:10, Paul writes, "For we are God's handiwork. We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. A lot of us are familiar with that passage. God is inviting us to partner with him today, to display his character, to bring all people to himself, to help put his good world back together again. That sounds like good work. That sounds like valuable work. Like I matter and I'm important, that I have worth. By practicing regular and rhythmic Sabbath rest, we allow God's generous voice and interact. He defines who we are. He sets our limits. He helps recalibrate ourselves back into the rest, the celebration, and the good work that God designed for us. So that's about all I got. What did this parable of Jesus do in your heart and mind? How did God interact with you this morning? How are you receiving God's advancement or moving closer towards you? How are you receiving that? In Hebrews 4, the writer reminds us that the Word of God is alive and active. All right, we just experienced the Word of God. It's alive and it's active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. He sees you in reality and in truth. So the living and the active God of the universe is eager to spend time with you. Welcome to Sabbath. Let's pray. Or let's continue to pray. So, Lord, allow us to rest in you. Allow us to possess the goodness, the purpose, the value, the worth. Let us celebrate your glory. Let us honor you. Let us receive your blessings, Lord, and let our entire lives put you on display. Let our work and our vocation be so attractive to the world because you are so attractive to us. We are your instruments, and you are looking for us to partner with you. So, Lord, thank you for allowing us into the divine work. You are so very good to us, Lord. Help us to rest in you. We give you our lives, Lord. Amen.